News Services Division of Akashvani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the fascinating northeastern part of India, each episode brings new insights and captivating stories. Here is a sneak peek at what we have in store for you today. Today, we embark on a journey into the rich cultural heritage of Nagaland's indigenous Phom tribe and also learn about the Meghalayan age. We'll delve into the captivating world of northeastern folklore, unearthing tales that have been passed down through generations, revealing the magic and wonder of Northeast India's storytelling tradition. But first, let's hear from our Kohima correspondent, Mary, who has a special report on Nagaland's Super League finals. After weeks of intense competition and football extravaganza, the stage was set for the grand finale of the Nagaland Super League. On April 1st, the highly anticipated championship match unfolded and history was made. Let's hear more from our correspondent.
In a thrilling showdown at the packed Chumukedima Football Stadium, Barak FC emerged victorious with a 3-1 win over Longtarak FC in a spectacular final. The excitement was electric as Barak FC claimed the title in the inaugural edition of the Nagaland Super League.
Empty net. There we go! Barak FC are champions of Nagaland!
And it is the oldest club in Nagaland that have taken the championship.
Setting the tone for the event, Nagaland Chief Minister Nipyo Ryo addressed a gathering ahead of the match, unveiling several ambitious plans, including Chief Minister's sports scholarships, a state-supported Nagaland Football Academy, and Nagaland International Gold Cup to elevate the football scene in the state.
We had conceived the idea of bringing Nagaland International Gold Cup. We will prepare to host an international event with 4 local teams, 4 national teams, and 4 international teams. Moreover, whoever can reach the national one league first qualifying, the team will get 2 crore each per annum.
Secretary General All India Football Federation Anil Kumar P praised the NSL initiative and assured the federation's support for taking Nagaland's football to the highest level. With exciting matches, community events, and fan engagements, the first edition of the Nagaland Super League has truly made its mark. With visionary leadership and community support, the future of football in the state has never looked brighter. NSL has ignited a spark, and with the momentum building, Nagaland is poised to take its place at the forefront of Indian football. For Northeast Diary, this is Mary, Akashvani News, Kohima.
Geologists have decided to classify the past 4,200 years as the Meghalayan Age. It is the most recent unit of the geologic time scale in the 4.6 billion year history of the Earth. This age is named after the northeast Indian state of Meghalaya, where the stalagmite was found that is used to mark out its years. Let's know more about the Meghalayan Age.
Welcome to the new age. You've been living in it this whole time. The northeastern state of India, Meghalaya, will be remembered for a long time in geological history. The last 4,200 years on Earth are being classified as a new age, and geologists are calling it as a Meghalayan age, the latest distinct geologic stage in the 4.6 billion year history of the Earth. The Meghalayan age has been marked by the onset of a mega drought that destroyed a number of civilizations around the world. Such ages divide the Earth's existence into multiple slices of time, and each slice of time corresponds to important events such as the breaking up of continents, dramatic shifts in climate, and the emergence of particular types of animals and plant life. In order to classify a geological period, geologists examine various aspects such as sedimentary deposits, ice cores, and deposits below the sea floor for clues regarding the occurrence of dramatic changes on Earth. These changes should reflect explicitly and should be global in its extent. In the case of Meghalian classification, this change was indicated in a stalagmite cave found in the Mualu cave, which is one of the deepest and longest caves in India. The stalagmite cave gave a clear indication of ways in which oxygen atoms changed, which is a proxy for climate, specifically precipitation, said Mike Walker, head of the working group on the subdivision of Holocene at the International Commission on Stratigraphy, ICS. The Meghalian is the youngest age to be recorded and runs from 4,200 years to the present. The age is said to have begun with a destructive drought whose effect lasted for approximately 200 years. The drought severely destroyed civilizations in Egypt, Greece, Syria, Palestine, Mesopotamia, the Indus Valley, and the Yangtze River Valley. Several shifts in oceans and atmospheric circulation may have caused the disastrous drought. Due to the stalagmite found in the Mualu cave in Meghalaya, the northeastern state is now part of geological history. Situated at an elevation of 1,290 meters, the condition in Mualu cave have been suitable for preserving chemical signs of transition that have been highlighted by an analysis of stalagmite. The Meghalian age is significant as it will be the first formal geological subdivision of the Holocene epoch. The Holocene epoch is the current age we live in and reflects everything that happened over the past 11,700 years. With the inclusion of the Meghalian age, the Holocene epoch will now be formally subdivided into three ages of Greenlandian, North Gripian, and Meghalian. Stanley Finney, professor of geological sciences at Long Beach State University, said that the Meghalian age is unique among the periods on the geologic time scale, as its beginning coincides with a global cultural event produced by a global climatic event.
Enchanting folktales of Northeast India. In Northeast Diary, we embark on a journey into the heart of the vibrant cultures nestled in the enchanting landscapes of Northeast India. Listeners, today we invite you to delve into the captivating world of Karbi folktales, an integral part of the cultural heritage of the Karbi tribe. Nestled in the verdant hills of Assam's Karbi Anglong district, the Karbi people have long thrived amidst the lush forests and rolling plains of the region. As one of the major ethnic communities in the Northeast, the Karbis have preserved their traditions, beliefs, and way of life through generations, often encapsulated in their rich tapestry of folktales. In the absence of written records, these folktales serve as the primary vessel through which we can glean insights into the early history and cultural evolution of the Karbi tribe. These tales not only provide glimpses into ancient customs and rituals, but also delve into universal themes of love, envy, morality, and spirituality, reflecting the timeless essence of human experience. Join us as we embark on this immersive journey, where each episode of Northeast Diary promises to transport you to the mystical realm of Karbi folklore, offering a deeper understanding of this unique culture and its enduring legacy in the tapestry of Northeast India. We have Manoj Mayankar with a story entitled Garbhya.
There is a hill towards the east of the hill, Inglong Maker. Its name is Tau Mora or Dumra. The river Ampri has come out of that Tau Mora hill, flowing through various hills. It has met the Digaru River. The name of this place is Amprikola. The river has a number of melancholic and common tales to tell. One such tale is that of Phakkad Hen or Phakkad family, which gets a due place in a popular folk song. A boy was bereft of parents in his childhood itself, that today he had been in a position to carry a bhar, a heavy load carried with the help of a bamboo pole. A bundle of firewood or straw from the hill on his shoulder was the result of the neighbor's kindness to him. The neighbors were kind enough to him as he was an orphan. One day, his maternal uncle Hem of Kasmala Nankrim came to his house at Kalangpur. Persuading the young lad and conveying the neighbors, the uncle had brought the boy to his home as a gabhya. The maternal uncle had 5 full-bloom young daughters, and one of them would marry the boy. The neighbors had no inkling at all that the boy's maternal uncle brought him home, in fact, by secret persuasion. Among the locals, a nephew, a sister's son, may marry a daughter of his maternal uncle. After such a marriage, the nephew becomes the son-in-law and the maternal uncle father-in-law respectively. With a bashful demeanor, the boy came to his maternal uncle's house as a gabhya. At first, he felt a bit shy, but afterwards, when each of the 5 girls often offered things such as betel nut, kacharang, etc., his bashfulness gradually began to dwindle. A broad smile brightened on his face. All the members of the family seemed happy at his smiling face. When he made time, he went to the 2 hills Sarahang and Pangti on the bank of the river Ampri and helped in jhum and cotton cultivation done by the Hem family. The residents of that village too loved him dearly. If he did not sing Retang Kinong Alun songs at the jhum field or didn't beat the drums, the youth folk felt disheartened. But at a time, it became crystal clear that his maternal uncle brought him home only on the false premise that one of his daughters would be married to him. These girls too only feigned kindness towards him and resorted to acting. The uncle would not marry a daughter to him, nor would either of the daughter give a consent to marry. They went to others one after another. At last, subtitled Gabhya only remained with him, but without being the actual Gabhya. The young lad was so heavily inflicted by shame and insult that he was, as if, almost dead. He was averse to do anything, and whatever he did would not finish with perfection. Gradually, he began to forget his fond Retang Kinong Alun songs too, plunged in disgust. One day, he called the villagers for a sirne, community participation in one's work, so that the half-done weeds-removing works in his jhum field be completed. All the villagers had responded to his request, sincerely expecting that their cooperation would, at least, make the boy a little happy. On that day, he himself sang songs related to weeds-removing. He even beat the drums, but the villagers noticed that the day's songs were different from those that he sang earlier. In the songs sung on that day, he only narrated what had transpired in the Phakkad family. He began to sing serially how his maternal uncle brought him to his own village on the false pretext that he would be marrying one of his daughters to him. How the girls too feigned love for him, but chose others ultimately. And how these cruel turn of events had broken his heart. At one point of time, he breathed a sigh of sadness and instantly fell upon the jhum land. The jhum field turned completely calm and quiet. Only the echoes of those sweet jhum field songs and their melodies lingered for a long time.
So that was Manoj Mayankar, senior broadcaster, with the Garbhya story. Let's embark on a journey into the rich heritage of the Phum tribe now, an indigenous Naga group nestled in the picturesque landscapes of Nagaland. Immerse yourself in their vibrant traditions and customs as we explore the essence of Foam culture. From the grandeur of Monyu, their flagship festival celebrated with fervor from 1st April to 6th each year, to the enchanting allure of Moha, Mongvum and Pangmo, discovering the tapestry of festivals that adorn the Foam calendar, each offering a unique glimpse into their cultural identity. Nestled predominantly in the Longling district, the Foam community embodies a legacy of resilience and tradition that spans generations. Join us as we delve into the heart of Foam Nagas, uncovering the intricacies of their rituals, folklore and, above all, their way of life.
Nagaland is a state of India, lying in the hills and mountains of the northeastern part of the country. It is one of the smaller states of India. Nearly all of Nagaland is mountainous. The climate here is mild and generally warm and temperate. Forests cover about one-sixth of Nagaland. The Nagas form 16 major tribes, as well as numerous sub-tribes, and each one has a specific geographic distribution. Though they share many cultural traits, the tribes have maintained a high degree of isolation and lack cohesion as a single people. The Naga tribes lack a common language, and each tribe has its own dialects. Longling is a district headquarters in Nagaland, is inhabited by the Foams, one of the major tribes in Nagaland. The Foam are a Naga group settled between the Konyak in the northeast, the Ao in the west and the Chang in the south. Foam means cloud. The name was given by their neighbors because their territory, hilly terrain in the Longyang area, always remained in cloud. The Foam called themselves Yungnule, referring to their legendary origin on the peak of the highest mountain in Foam land, Mount Yingyushang.
My name is M. Chungal. Foam population is 50 nearly peoples, and then electoral census. No, now we have one district, Longling.
He gives us a glimpse and the uniqueness of this tribe.
For further time, head hunting, those who are in a guild, no, people like big festival, Monyu go. We are called Monyu. At that time, hero, to make hero. That is the significance of skeleton. No? And then during head hunting is fear.
Festivals, dance and music is part and parcel of Phom tribe, like their sister tribes.
Konyak and Phom is same day, same month celebrate their big festival morning. It is harvest after, what preparing is ready to, are ready after, we are, see, Ganvian Sash morning festival. Theme of the songs, sometimes when jungle cutting, at that time another point to the song. And then in different view, like during festival, during jungle cutting, during somebody rich man time, at that time, rock drum also produce different song. And then common social gathering, like meeting, at that time, rock drum also different song. Oh, ula, niyo, anye, hanye, lang niyo. Yes, this is a social gathering, and then it's good opportunity. Purplish day is called Ulang Mio.
The dress and shawl worn by the Phom tribe have several patterns that indicate their uniqueness.
From my tribe, we are wearing same color and female, and same color for male. It is one color, common dressing, no? For male and female is a role recognition we have, and then pride also like that.
Presbyterian Shei Gai Jo, Lobu Mongi Chum Lam, Charismatic Shei Ito, Lene Rom Kushu Long, Shi Jo Nung Ke Bam Ben Shi Jo, Ke Lang Bu Kung Ke Numa, Ben Yen Shi Kong U Shi, Lai Chi Sum Wan U Shi,
Last but not the least, Morungs, a prominent village institution, a community house or dormitory for young unmarried men, is also part and parcel of Phom tribe.
Morung means the social gathering place is called a morung. And every village, there is morung. And then social gathering for father from the beginnings of for father, gather and sharing and whatever work and whatever role, it's also made from morung. And the social gathering place is called a morung. And Phom dialects, bang means morung.
Northeast Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in.
Coming up next is the Galo song, Tami Gok Gisa Si Galo, by Buckingham, Lombard. Let the rhythm of this beautiful composition serenade your heart and immerse you in the soulful melodies of Arunachal Pradesh. Friends, with that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
The program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.